We are in the middle of a big-time recovery in equities from the early session lows. The strength in stocks helped the grains to also recover from the early session lows, but most grains still finished on the downside of unchanged. It's the middle of June, and there is rain in the forecast. Or is there? The grains are trying to figure out an uncertain weather outlook.
Live from the nation's breezy midsection via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, we feature a conversation with Andrew Jackson from Producers Hedge. And in the final segment, from ArTech Advisory, Kerry ArTech tells the tale of the technicals. And right after the news, Jack Scoville from the Price Futures Group. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. Now, the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
All right, Davis, thank you so much. Appreciate that. The wind is still blowing out there, no doubt.
It is.
And but if there's one thing that we got from Kirk Hinz, BAM WX, this morning on the first hour of AgriTalk, was that we're going to see some calmer winds. It's going to break down for us in the middle of the week. And so if you're out there looking for an opportunity to get in the field, get some post-spraying done, maybe that's going to be your opportunity to do that.
Okay. Yeah. You know, I mentioned we were live from the nation's breezy midsection. And really, if you can't be out there spraying right now, I found it rather delightful. You go outside and you stand right in that breeze. Just face it down and pull up your shirt just a little bit. And let that breeze go right across the old midsection.
Whoa.
Feels so good. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Wow, yeah. Be careful with that kind of talk here.
Ah, feels good.
Okay?
Yeah, I think so. I think we can say midsection, can't we?
Okay, I think so. All right, man.
Oh, yeah.
The stocks at one point were like 750 points lower. And the last time that I looked, the Dow is now up 170. Just a crazy turnaround in that market. And, of course, there are multiple reasons for the early pressure, multiple reasons for the comeback, and it's all having a ripple effect throughout the ag markets and the energy markets in particular. So,
how much volume are we seeing in that equity trade? Is it a low volume kind of environment thing that's throwing it around so much, or is just there just that much volatility in there to work out?
I think that there's just that much volatility. We can check and see if Andrew knows anything on that, but
good idea.
I think there's good volume in the stocks, but I know that the volume in the grains and in the meats is really pretty low right now. So it's something that we need to address. Okay, let's get to it. What was throwing prices around?
Sure thing. Well, July SRW wheat futures started the session under pressure with most markets on the defensive due to the uptick in COVID-19 cases. Global equity prices were under heavy pressure to start the week, but U.S. stocks surged off the early pressure and are trading with solid gains heading into the final hour of trade, buddy.
Yeah. And it is a big concern over that a potential second wave of those COVID-19 and what it might mean. We had a great conversation with Vince Malanga about that potential this morning. He said a shutdown, if we do get a second wave of COVID-19, a shutdown of the economy, he said it's off the table. Not going to happen.
Yep. Export inspections of wheat in the week ended June 11 were at the low end of trade expectations and totaled just over 444,000 metric tons. Rising global wheat prices, however, helped wheat prices recover by the close on expectations that importers will be looking to the U.S. for supplies in the near term. July hard red winter wheat was 2¾ cents lower, 445¾. July soft red firmed 2¾ cents, 504¾. July spring wheat firmed 1¾ today to close at 515 even. I don't know if I've ever seen this in the news copy before. Importers will be looking to the U.S. for supplies in the near term. What?
Hopefully.
Have I got that right?
Hopefully. Yeah? We got to watch that currency fluctuation as well. We'll talk to Andrew about that coming up in just a bit.
Corn export inspections in the weekend of June 11 fell short of trade expectations and totaled just 910,000 metric tons. Total export commitments for the 2019-20 marketing year are now 25.1% behind year ago. Chip, that's actually an improvement from last week, but shipments remain well behind the pace needed to get to USDA's export forecast of 1.775 billion bushels. Some conflicting weather forecasts for later this week helped corn prices erase most of the overnight session losses, but the recovery in crude oil futures provided the bulk of support for corn. July corn futures were 0.75 lower, 3.29¼. September corn slipped 0.75 to 3.33¾. December corn closed at 3.41½. That's down 1.5 on the day, Chip.
Yeah, our export commitments on corn 25.1% behind year ago. That 1.775 billion bushel export forecast is off only 14% from a year ago. So we got a ways to go to get back to that pace.
Soybeans ended the session under some light pressure, but the market was well off session lows. Soybean export inspections of 376,000 metric tons lined up with lackluster trade expectations. The support for the recovery from the overnight lows was delivered by USDA when it announced the sale of 390,000 metric tons of U.S. beans for delivery to China in the 2020 and 21 marketing year. July bean futures 2¼ cents lower, 8.69. August off 2½, 8.70. Novi bean futures 8.76, down 3¾ today.
These sales to China are starting to feel like something. They're starting to add up in here.
Yeah, for sure. July cotton was 83 points lower, 59.01. December cotton dropped 68 ticks, 58.35. On the livestock side, cattle slaughter last week was just 1.6% below year ago. August live cattle, 67.5 cents higher, 96 even. December cattle up 82.5, 102.87.5, and August feeders up 7.5 cents, 131.17.5. And finally, hog slaughter last week topped year-ago levels by less than 1%, but that's back-to-back weeks with slaughter above year-ago. July lean hogs 60 cents higher, 52.27.5. These hogs a nickel lower, 53.95. Chip.
All right. Thank you very much, Davis. Let's bring in Jack Scoville, the Price Futures Group. Jack, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. It's been a beautiful day here in Chicago. Still kind of locked in the house, but what a beautiful sunny day to sit in front of Lake Michigan.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. So anything catching your eye in these markets right now? Davis was asking about volume in the grain markets. What's that look like right now?
Well, the volume has actually been, for me, it's been rather light. I'm not real sure it's been... I'm not too sure it's been that way for other people, but for me, it's been rather light. Farmers not really selling anything because they feel the price is a little too cheap, and they're still kind of waiting for the rally to get underway, which chart-wise, it looks like it could start to happen. On the other hand, the speculators kind of quiet themselves, kind of waiting to sell into a rally right in through here.
Yeah. Yeah, it does feel like we're very slowly chipping away at the bear patterns and forming some bullish patterns on the charts. I would if we could trigger some short covering in the corn, that would help all of this market out, wouldn't it?
Oh, absolutely, it would. And it's there to be done. We just need a fundamental trigger for what technically could be a really pretty interesting deal.
Yeah, you're not. Are you seeing the potential for that fundamental trigger from the weather right now, Jack?
Well, the weather is really two-sided, as you kind of pointed out. There are some forecasts for rain towards the end of next week, but other forecasts calling for dry weather. It looks like the rains are going to stay kind of north, which is fine. But really, here in Illinois, at least in west central Illinois, we could kind of use the rain.
Gotcha.
The winds have been so brisk here, and it's been dry, and the winds have been so brisk that the soil's dried right out, and the corn doesn't necessarily need it right now, but it's going to have to rain sooner or later.
Yep, Jack, we're out of time. Thanks, buddy. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, sounds great.
Good. We've got Andrew Jackson up next. Everyone talks big yields, but Channel Seedsmen deliver advice that yields results. Every season, Channel Seedsmen match elite seed products with unmatched service and support to push the performance of every acre. That's why you can count on Channel for what you need to make the most of your season. You don't have to be a Channel customer to take advantage of this support. Visit channel.com/agritalk to sign up and receive expert advice that yields.
Chickens have come home to roost. Find out whose fence they're perched on today on AgriTalk. AgriTalk!
AgriTalk! AgriTalk! Oh, welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip Flory. Got Davis Michelson with me.
AgriTalk!
Corn, soybeans, slightly lower today. And the rest of the soy complex, soybean meal futures, slightly lower today. Bean oil was higher. I'd call it modestly higher. Wheat was mixed. Live cattle higher, feeder cattle higher, and lean hogs mostly higher. The Dease contract is the only one that I've got showing that was just a nickel lower in today's trade. What was milk? Real quick. Oh, geez. Milk. July up 71 cents. To 1925. August up 74 to 1777. And September was up 68 at 1730. That June contract up 22 cents. It's at 2064.
Well, I mean, so, is it any wonder? I mean, milk is delicious. It's nutritious. It's good for you. You know,
it's good for you. That's right.
That's what all the cool kids are drinking these days.
Makes a body strong, man. Makes a body strong. We're going to talk to Mike North about the dairy trade later this week.
Oh, terrific.
So, yeah, looking forward to having him on, as I am looking forward to the conversation with Andrew Jackson from Producers Hedge. How you doing, Andrew? It's good to talk with you again.
Yeah, appreciate y'all having me back.
Absolutely. Hey, before we get to what's new at Producers Hedge, let's do a crop report from the Southeast production areas. You're down in Kentucky, right?
That's right, yep.
How things looking?
Kentucky, well, you know, Kentucky has 99 problems, but a crop isn't one. So we're doing pretty good. You get out to the western part of the state. They got a good pop-up shower yesterday that they weren't expecting. So Kentucky is anxiously awaiting our invite to the Corn Belt.
There are years where the average yields in Kentucky, Tennessee, they rival the I states, don't they?
Oh yeah, we have some good producers and some good markets. It's a good place to be.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. All right, Producers Hedge. You said that there's some growth going on at Producers Hedge. What's happening?
Well, yeah. So we've got our two main offices, Leland, Illinois, and here in Lancaster, Kentucky. Also have offices in Eldora, Iowa, and Oakland, Oakland, Nebraska. But we will be adding more additions soon. So stay tuned for that. Pretty excited about the growth we're seeing.
Davis, did you hear that? Eldora, Iowa, right down the road from you.
That's not far from here at all.
No, it's not.
What's
no,
the summer camp in Eldora?
One of my favorite state parks is right there in Eldora, Iowa.
Pine Lake State Park. I love
Pine
it.
Pine Lake State Park. That's right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's beautiful. It is absolutely gorgeous. Beautiful there. Okay, Andrew, I made a note during the news when Davis and I were talking about the wheat trade. And I want this is going to apply to more than wheat trade, of course. But it's the currency fluctuations that we are dealing with in this market right now. It seems like forever it was a negative for our markets. Now we've kind of got the currencies working to the U.S. advantage, right?
Yeah, we've maybe slid just a little bit here in the last few days. But overall, I mean, it's the overall trend is better. You know, a lot of people get hung up even when we dive into the currencies on the U.S. dollar index. And that's probably more important for wheat than it is with corn or soybeans just because of the basket that it's based on.
Yep.
But, yeah, I mean, the Russian ruble has seen big changes since the first of the year. I think we've gone from somewhere around 60 to 1 to a high of 83, and then now we're back down to 70. So, you know, we need that ruble to continue to strengthen a little bit to allow us to be competitive on the export market.
Right. Right.
If we look at Brazil, you know, Brazil at one point was at, I think, at 4-1 at the beginning of the year. Now, and we pushed that to as much as 6-1. You know, that makes a big difference in our competitiveness on the export market. For example, if we go to the 1st of January and no soybean futures were around 980, at 4-1, you know, that's about 39 real per bushel. If we go to the low of the real when we were at 6-1, on May 14th at 8:50, well, that's 51 real per bushel. So we dropped $1.30 here in the U.S., but somehow the Brazilians are selling record levels. We backed off that a little bit, so we're a little more competitive. But it is oh so important, just as important as any fundamental issues we can talk about.
Right, right. And for Brazil, that's a long term market. Well, it's a long term market factor for all of the countries. But when the Brazil real was trading at that 6-1, you could hear them firing up to expand acres for the year ahead, couldn't you?
Oh, for sure. I mean, you could hear the slashing and burning going on in the background.
Yep. Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. The impact of that real on demand for U.S. soybeans from China. I made a comment to Davis at the start of the show that these China numbers, these sales to China, are starting to add up and they're starting to turn into something. I don't know if we're there yet where we can get too excited about it, but it's we're on our way, right?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it'd be nice to maybe push a few more old crop bushels out. I mean, it's always good to see sales no matter what the time frame, but I'd really like to make sure that we hit the USDA numbers for this year. And I'd really like to see us make sure we hit the ship, you know, actually get them shipped because, you know, all the sales don't mean anything if we wake up to a cancellation. So,
right. Yeah, that's right. Basis on beans in your part of the world over there, Andrew, is what's going on with that?
It's pretty solid. I mean, okay. We've been seeing basis levels at the processor anywhere from, you know, 25 to 30 over seems to be the norm. And you know, that's historically a little, I would say slightly above normal. Not an outright crazy number, but considering, you know, the overall balance sheet, I'd say that's a pretty stout number. The one problem I see with that, you know, we talk about, one of the things I think we need for a bull market in soybeans, we need it to be led by meal. Exports are great, but, I want to see good meal crush. And the USDA has good crush projected, but we really need to see margins straighten up. Right now, we've got crush margins, you know, near five-year lows, down around 65 cents. And if a plant has that locked in, maybe they'll continue to run for a little bit. But I've got real concerns that if we don't see margins in, you know, do we actually hit that record crush number that the USDA is forecasting for this year or for next year?
Yeah, soybean production in your area, Andrew, is that a domestic market or does that feed into the exports?
It's a little bit of everything. So we do have a lot of exports. Of course, we're on the Ohio River. But you know, if you go to guys in Southern Kentucky, they could feed into the Owensboro market, to the Mount Vernon, Indiana market, into those crush facilities, or could even, you know, possibly depending on the basis opportunities, could feed into Decatur, Alabama, or even into Georgia. So there's a good healthy mixture of both. Lots of arbitrage opportunities for the cash trader out there.
Wow. Okay. And you kind of came up through the cash trade, didn't you?
Yeah, so that's pretty much my background. I guess my original background was I was an ag teacher, and then I worked for Consolidated Grain, I worked for Gavilon, and then I worked traded feed ingredients for a while, and so got a good background. I don't know how much I retained, but it's probably helped me a little bit along the way.
Good. Okay, so I back to the currency conversation here for just a bit. You mm-hmm. said that it may be the most important thing going on in the grain markets right now. Mm-hmm. Dive into that a little bit more and talk about what that currency fluctuation and the currency trade, how it might influence the professional funds, how it might influence just the makeup of the market.
Well, you know, at the end of the day, we want to be competitive on the export market. So it's going to affect our FOB offers. You know, if the Brazilian real begins to weaken and we go from a current, you know, say five to one, and all of a sudden we go back to 6-1, then the U.S. has to be that much more competitive, and it has to come in the way of lower CBOT futures. It's very possible. I mean, of course, you know, the funds are going to follow that, and they're probably not going to follow to the upside. They're probably going to start piling on to the downside.
Yeah, absolutely. And Jack was talking about looking for that fundamental trigger that could get the funds out of the short side of the corn market. And Andrew, I'm not seeing what it's going to be right now. Are you?
Yeah, I mean, there's potential there. I mean, you can't, we are seeing a little bit of dryness. I mean, you can't have a drought if you don't start off a little dry, right?
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, you know, the fundamental, the balance sheet is pretty strong from a supply standpoint. So we really, I mean, if we're going to drop a billion bushels off the balance sheet, I mean, at 95 million acres, I mean, quick math, I mean, we're going to have to drop over 10 bushels off the corn balance sheet. So I'm not seeing that yet. You know, or we're going to have to shed some acres on top. I mean, we're going to have to shed some acres. We're going to have to shed some yield, and probably a combination of both.
Yeah, yeah. All right. We're talking with Andrew Jackson, Producers Hedge, LLC. Now, when we come back, Andrew, let's dive into the strategies that you like the most right now. I'm not going to ask you to get specific for anyone or any specific or any area, but I just want to talk about some of the strategies that you like right now that producers should be considering. That's next on AgriTalk. It's time for headline news featuring some of the headlines ripped from Pro Farmers First Thing Today. In the week ahead, U.S. trade policy will be the focus of two virtual hearings by U.S. Trade Representative Bob Lighthizer. He will likely be asked for updates on implementation of the U.S.-Mexico-Canada trade agreement and Phase 1 trade accord with China. The U.S. Soybean Export Council begins its three-day online trade show with the focus on Asian trade. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo will meet with Chinese officials in Hawaii. Wheat prices are climbing on production concerns in Ukraine. The SPR purchases meant to shore up the oil sector could be taking place. And finally, the cheese market has soared lately. Both blocks and barrels rallied to all-time highs early last week. Hey, check out what Pro Farmer has to offer at tryprofarmer.com.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. We've cleared the schedule for you. Give us a call at 855-482-5524 and join the conversation.
All right. Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip, got Davis with me, and we are talking with Hello. Andrew Jackson from Producers Hedge LLC today. Mm-hmm. Before we get back to Andrew, Davis, if you would be so kind as to recap how the market's closed.
I would be that kind. Good. July hard red winter wheat, 2¾ cents lower, 445¾. July soft red firmed, 2¾ cents to 504¾. July corn futures were 0.75 cents lower, 329¼. December corn closed at 341½, down 1½ cents. July soybean futures 2¼ cents lower, 869. November bean futures closed at 876, down 3¾ cents. Chip, talk amongst yourselves just for 1 second.
Okay. Why? What do you got going? Something wrong?
Oh, I'm fine now. July cotton, 83 points lower, 59.01. August live cattle futures, 67½ cents higher at $96 even. August feeders firmed 7½ cents to 131.17½. July lean hogs, 60 cents higher, 52.27½. There's your quick market recap. Back to it, buddy.
All right.
Just a little
Thank
tickle
you,
in the throat there. A little tickle yeah, in the throat there. Had to cough. Yeah.
I got you. Huh. I got you. Thank you. It happens. Thank you. All right. Andrew Jackson. Producers Hedge, LLC, out of Lancaster, Kentucky, is our guest analyst today. I said I was going to get to strategy, Andrew, but I want to sidestep that for just a second because we haven't talked anything about the livestock trade yet, and I just want to get your take on what's going on in livestock in general, if there's any opportunities, any anxiousness to get some downside coverage in place. What's your take?
Well, I think the fundamentals are maybe just a little bit discouraging. You know, the animals are quite a bit heavier than they were a year ago. We've still got quite a bit of supply to work through. And, you know, slaughter has been better. So, I mean, we're almost back at year-ago levels. But my opinion is, you know, if you look at feeder cattle in the buck 30 range, something like that, you know, there's potential, I think, to sell that thing back off. Now, I hope I'm wrong. But there are strategies you can implement there, you know, by, you know, buying puts or putting floors in, you know, selling out of the money call to cheapen that strategy up or whatever. But that's something I would encourage.
Boy, there's still a bunch of calves that come out of your part of the world, isn't there, Andrew?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Most beef cattle east of the Mississippi. So,
yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Let's talk strategies in grains and livestock, wherever you want to go with this. Andrew, what I want to know is, well, you know what? No, let's start with corn. Do you see any opportunities or reasons to act in this corn trade right now.
I do, but, you know, I don't know that it's necessarily in the spot market. You know, a lot of the opportunities I see right now is selling the carry, looking as far as DEES 21. I mean, if a guy absolutely wanted to put on some 22, I'm probably not going to discourage that. But I think at least looking out to 21, DEES futures in the 370s. You know, I think one of the things we got to look at, you know, a lot of people hear 370 and they say, well, that's, I got to have more than that. Well, I get it, but let's start with DEES futures. And if you have storage, let's look to roll those carries. Yeah. You know, historically, you can take a 370 DEES sell and you can turn that, you know, expect to get 20 cents rolling to the May. So all of a sudden you're at 390. You know, by the 15th of March, you're going to be bidding versus the, everybody's going to be bidding versus the May anyway. So all of a sudden you just adjust by your basis. Here in Kentucky, that basis is normally positive. So you can lay, I think there's opportunity out there to leg into a $4 cash sale as early as March delivery. But you got to start today.
Okay.
You can't expect to leg into that sale in the spot.
Yeah. Yeah. When you do that, are you talking about just putting on a straight hedge in the DEES 21 futures?
Well, it's up to the producer. I mean, depending on the relationship with the elevator and the cost of the HDA, it's often that I just say, hey, let's just do it through the elevator. It's just as cheap. And, you know, guys don't like margin calls. I get that.
Right, right. And, of course, if you're doing the HDA, just remind everybody that you got to set the basis later.
That's right. You're going to have to set the basis prior to delivery.
Yeah, yeah. Speaking of basis, let's talk about that for a little bit on the DEES 20, or not the DEES 21, on the 2020 corn crop. You know, last year, last summer, the basis just got crazy on us.
That's right.
Can we expect some sort of a recovery yet this summer, or is that just kind of off the table now?
Well, I think if we can get ethanol to continue to recover, I think that's only going to be positive. As many hands as we can have grabbing the corn we need. So, and there is a dislocation of stocks, I believe. So, you know, I think there's absolutely possibility, depending on where you are. You know, it's always regional, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. In your notes, you also talked about setting some scaled offers in place, Andrew. When you're picking those price levels that you want to do that at, where you're scaling up your sales, how do you go about picking those price levels?
Well, you know, of course, we'd like to sell profitable levels, right?
Sure.
But, you know, if we got the ability to store the corn, sometimes we have to begin with the end in mind. So if our goal is $4 cash sale, you know, we're going to back in. We're going to figure basis into that. We're going to do all those things. And figure out what we need to sell versus the DEES. Because typically there's, you know, I think the DEES and March spread is only 7.5 cents or so right now. Typically we can expect that thing to go out to, you know, 12, 13, 14 cents historically. No guarantees there, but, you know, there should be money to be picked up on that roll. You know, of course, I like to look at, you know, support and resistance and all those things on the chart. And kind of, I guess it's more art than science. But also, we like to be reasonable. We want to sell profitable levels, but at the same time, we want to be reasonable and look at a 3.3 billion bushel potential balance sheet and realize we probably don't need to put a first offer at five.
Yeah. Yeah. No kidding. you know, $5, if we could do that, that would be great. But what does a good price look like in corn right now to you, Andrew?
Well, I mean, I think there's opportunity again. If you know, for DEES 20, you know, I'm going to encourage sales somewhere between the 360 and 370 range, and I hope we get there. Now we may not, and we may have to reevaluate. But that 360, let's say, split the difference, say 365. By the time we roll that to the May, we're at 385, and then adjust with basis. In Kentucky, again, I think we're looking at close to a $4 sale in a lot of locations. So I think that looks good today.
Okay.
All right. For DEES 21, again, yep. 380.
Okay. All right. Let's put some prices on, you know, run through that process on soybeans.
Okay, so soybeans, you know, I want to be more friendly soybeans probably than corn, but we really need corn to get off its butt in order, and we need the currency trend to continue. But, you know, the way that I'm going to look at soybeans, unless you're in a market with a lot of carry right now, I don't see a lot of reason to be storing soybeans for fall. Basis is pretty strong along the river in this area and all the processors. So I'm looking kind of at starting at $9 cash sales. And hope that looks really bad at some point. But given where, you know, we saw things trade early this year, that's probably not a bad place to start with some percentage of your crop just to get your toes wet. Even if that's only 5%, just to get something started, then scale up. You know, scale up another 10, 15, 20 cents, and then start working into it like that.
Okay. All right.
Something else you can do. Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, something else you can do is if say that we get up to 9.25 or something like that, and then you say, well, you know, I've already sold 20% of my crop. I think this thing's got legs. Okay, that's fine. Let's put the next one at 9.50, and let's put a stop in at $9 just in case we fall back. Yeah. We're going to lock in a floor at $9, and I think that's a very underutilized tool.
You know, when I was on the floor, Andrew, and this has been a long time ago, and I saw in your notes that you considered stops an underutilized tool. I mean, if guys got into a position in the late 80s, early 90s, it came with a stop for the most part. Mm-hmm. That doesn't happen much anymore.
You know, if anybody's doing any pure spec trades with me, I highly encourage stops. You know, there was once a story about a man that said that he had a dream and God told him to buy November soybeans. And the broker said, okay, where did he tell you to put your stop? So I think it's very, very important thing to do.
Yes, yes, no doubt. Okay, one last topic that I wanted to get to with you here, Andrew, is the energy markets and the influence that the energies might be having on the grain trade right now. Do you see much?
Yeah, I mean, I think corn definitely is tied in there. Energy's equities, I think energy's equities right now are lockstep. And I think we need a continued recovery. Because if we get a continued recovery, all of a sudden ethanol has reason to continue to slowly grind, no pun intended, higher. So.
Yeah. Yeah, very good. Very good. And, of course, a lot of that is going to have to do with whether or not we get into the second wave. And if people can gain the confidence to travel, to go to work, to do everything that we were doing pre-COVID, then this energy market may have some strength behind it, right?
That's right. And I wish I had the answer to that. But, you know, it just seems so regional, so political. Yeah. But we definitely need that.
Yeah. What is the status of Kentucky? Andrew, are you guys open for business?
You know, there are some restrictions out there. But for the most part, I mean, I actually sat down and ate at a restaurant the other day, so that was kind of cool. And I think, you know, there's some churches are back open at half capacity. I actually went to a physical service here just a couple weeks ago. So, you know, we're on our way. We're on our way to recovery here.
Good. That is good to hear. And plus, you got a corn crop growing. Everything must be in pretty good shape down there, Andrew. Thank you so much for your time, and we'll do it again sometime soon, buddy.
All right, thanks a lot.
All right, that is Andrew Jackson. He is with Producers Hedge, LLC, out of Kentucky. All right, when we come back, it's Monday, and you know what that means. It's time for an RTAC attack. We've got Kerry Artak from Artak Advisory. He's up next, going to update us on the chart outlook right here on AgriTalk.
In the morning, you're coffeeed up and you're thinking. In the afternoon, you've calmed down, but you're still thinking. We're here all day. AgriTalk.
We're even here during the breaks. Thanks, Merle, for your call. I appreciate that very much. That's awesome.
Absolutely. We're gonna dig into what Merle wanted to talk about and see if we can't report back to all the listeners.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Sometime here not too far future. Good conversation with Andrew. It's always good to get out of the middle of the Corn Belt with some of our in the field analysts, you know, mm-hmm. and hear about what's going on in Kentucky, because you know, when he starts talking about what the bean market is and the cash market is there in Kentucky, is it for the export market? Is it for the domestic market? And he starts getting into all the different crush plants that producers in his area can send soybeans to. I thought it was cool. Mm-hmm. It's always learning something about what's going on out there in the markets. All right, let's bring in Kerry Artak, Artak Advisory. How you doing, Kerry?
I'm doing great, Chip. How are you?
Doing well. I want to remind everyone that if you would like a 2-week free trial of the Artak Advisory newsletter or the website, go ahead and just go to Artak Advisory, ArtakAdvisory.com, and Kerry will take care of you. Okay, buddy, let's get started with the beans.
All right, July beans. I still have this 891 even ceiling. It's dropping a little bit every week. I think a couple weeks ago it was 893, but it's 891 even. It's a channel top in the weekly chart. That is our ceiling, really, into later summer. And now that we've rallied within a few percentage points of it, this market can grow tired and fall back into July expiration and the broader market even into later summer. You know, near term on the way down, 839.5 can actually contain selling through the balance of June and into early July. But if we close the week below 839.5, and I think that's probably a long shot right now, but if we did, then 774 even, not out of the question by July expiration, where the broader bean market can actually bottom out into autumn activity. Upside, if we settle the week Friday above that 891 even longer term ceiling, then bullish continuation into later summer, 964 even, then the next 2 to 3 month target where the broader market can top out through the balance of the year. On to July wheat, very similar structure here. I've been mentioning the mid to low 480s now for a few weeks. 484 even is our floor through summer. This is a level that if tested, you know, over the next couple of weeks, we close today at 504.75. So if we test 484 even, that is an area that can contain selling really through summer trade, and above which this market is in a longer-term consolidated framework, the ceiling of which is up in the 590s, the low $6 area, 615 even, not out of the question as we continue into later summer, so long as we hold above 484 even. In fact, a nice upward pivot point into July would be a settlement Friday above 524 even, which should then yield that 615 area possibly as early as by the end of July, where we can actually top out through the year. Now, downside, if we close the week below that 484 even floor, then the market continues south into July trade, 418 even, then expected within 2 to 3 months or sooner, where the broader wheat market can bottom out through the balance of the year. On to August live cattle, another repeat here, really. We had a buy signal in early May that remains intact above 93.90. That's the same level as last week. It is our floor into July. We dipped below it today, but as long as we close the week at or above 93.90, still expecting the 106 handle over the next 3 to 5 weeks, 106 even able to contain buying into later summer. Downside, if we close Friday the week itself below 93.90, then expect 88.95 by the end of next week. And that is our downward pivot point into later summer. So closing below 88.95, we should within a month or two test 76.60, where the August contract can bottom out into expiration. So to sort of express August cattle, we are bullish into July above 93.90, expecting 106 even, but we don't turn bearish unless we close the week below 88.95, then expecting 76.60 within 3 to 5 weeks. And that's about all I got for those three, Chip.
All right. Very good. Hey, Kerry, I understand mm-hmm. that corn has been in this sideways trend here for the last couple of weeks, but we are establishing a pattern of higher lows. Is it making any difference in the longer term outlook that you're doing?
Not really, because what's happening is we're forming kind of a lower or a higher low wedge pattern. The flat tops, the lows are coming up. It could be a recipe for a downward trade. In fact, I do need to see this market settle above 331 even convincingly on Friday to set off kind of what I'd call a counter trend rally into July with 361.25, then our next 3 to 5 week target. But until then, this market still remains susceptible to heavy trade with continued Friday settlements, weekly settlements at or below 331.25. And I think 308 even likely over the next few few weeks below 331 and a quarter, and possibly the lower 280s by the end of July. So 331 and a quarter, big pivot point. I don't put a lot of I understand what you're saying. I could see it on the chart, but it's kind of a wedge pattern, and sometimes they set up as being a sign of weakness, actually.
Okay, all right, very good, very good, Kerry. Thanks, buddy. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thanks, Chip. Take care.
All right. That is Kerry Artak, Artak Advisory. Okay. National Weather Service, 6 to 10-day outlook, Davis. This is for June 21st through the 25th. It actually just kind of updated here a few minutes ago. The Corn Belt, I'm going to call it normal to below normal on the temperature outlook for June 21 through the 25th. Wisconsin, Iowa, and the state edges around Iowa, okay? Eastern Nebraska, northern Missouri, northwest Illinois, southern Minnesota are expected to see below normal temperatures in that time period. The rest of the Corn Belt is really looking at mostly normal temperatures. Above normal precipitation expected through the eastern Corn Belt, most of Wisconsin, southern Iowa, most of Nebraska, and then below normal precip expected in North Dakota, South Dakota, and western Minnesota. So we're into that transition period in here again that we need to keep close tabs on. Now, as we get to the 8 to 14 day for June 23rd through the 29th, the heat starts to come back in. Above normal temperatures expected through the Dakotas, Nebraska, northern Iowa, Minnesota, Wisconsin, northern Illinois, northern Indiana, Ohio, and, of course, Michigan. Above normal precipitation, June 23rd through the 29th in the eastern belt and the southern production areas, normal to below normal precipitation in the Dakotas, Minnesota, Nebraska. So, again, we're into that transition period. Hey, thank you so much for listening today. Tomorrow morning, we've got energy analyst Phil Flynn and Jessica Coulterman from Lincoln Premium Poultry.